and melding them together. I want to thank all the staff for their hard work with Legacy Amendment Bill, Environment Policy, LCCMR, and now this. They've had a lot of work to do in the last few days, so we really appreciate how well they've done and how many long hours they've worked. So what I think we'll do is simply go through the proposed committee report. Mr. Knopf will walk us through that. There are a couple of just brief amendments to this. And then if someone feels the burning need to comment, we will accommodate you. But other than that, I think we'll be ready to vote tonight. Representative Dill, comments?
I'll just thank you again to the staff. It always seems like it's torture to them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're negotiating back and forth and trying to juggle numbers, and they basically have to read our minds. And thank you very much. And I was thinking that one amendment to the bill that we hadn't discussed yet would be that maybe we should make a statute that says that the Game and Fish Bill is officially the last bill to pass either body in any legislative year. It seems that that's kind of the way that it's going these days.
Yeah. That would not be an enforcement nightmare.
That's correct.
Mr. Knopf, any comments from the committee before we begin? Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair, just before I start going through the bill, a couple things. We've got a draft bill here. There were some further discussions, and I got a one-page thing that Mr. Kudelka worked out, or actually put down what we were talking about on, and we can hand that out. And then I've got two amendments, and I think Janelle has an amendment also that we'll do. But first I'll just walk through the draft conference committee report and tell you about each of the sections that are in there.
Question, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Knopf, should we be looking at our side-by-sides at all, or is that going to muck up the...
Mr. Chair, Senator Scogin, you may want to, at certain points, I have it for a reference, but at this point, I mean, it'll be referred to in this other sheet. Okay. If there's something of issue that you need to look at, I would just use it as a reference point at this time. So, Mr. Chair, I'll just go through quickly what's in the draft report here. If you look on the first few sections 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we're all we're in both sides, and we're just taking the language. This is DNR language dealing with aquaculture. Section 6 was in the Senate side. This is the disposition of carcasses taken by wild animals or domestic dogs. Section 7 was in both sides. Section 8 was in both sides. Section 9, there were some differences on the House side, but they had done a little more with the language and refined it a little bit. So Section 9 is from the House, and then Section 10 was a Senate provision on commercial dock and boat lift installer invasive species training. Section 11, again, this was a House only, but it goes along with Section 9, and it was from the House side as they refined the language a little more. Section 12 was a Senate provision dealing with aquatic macrophytes. And then Section 13 was in both sides. Section 14, the date was changed on the Senate side, but you'll see an addition on 10.14 to 10.15. The House was carrying some language dealing with trappers, and what this just says is to create a subcommittee to review trapping license revenue and expenditures and trapping issues. And then this was effective the day following enactment. Section 15, that was on both sides. Section 16 is a compromise. The Senate had a new acquisition procedure for wildlife management area lands statewide. What this does is it keeps the existing system in for any acquisitions north of U.S. Highway 2, and for acquisitions south of U.S. Highway 2, we use the new procedure that was in the Senate bill. But you'll see it as all new language. Before, it was just modifying the existing. So there's that dividing line in the state and which procedure you use for when the DNR is acquiring wildlife management area lands. And on page 12, the refunds, that's in both bills. Section 17, Section 18 was the House bill dealing with the restitution value for trophy deer. Section 19 was a Senate provision on hunting big game while under revocation that was accepted. Section 20, that goes along with the restitution values. It's also in the House side, was accepted by the is it being accepted by the Senate. Section 21 is a provision, as I understand it, if I remember right, it was in both sides, with court appearances. Section 22, mandatory selection for elk licenses, was in both sides. Section 23, turkey license was in both sides. 24 was in both sides. 25 was a House provision dealing with road authorities on deer killed by motor vehicles, making clarify who owns the deer that's hit by your car when you hit it with your car. Section 26, according to quartering of deer, we both had technical differences, the House was a little bit different. What we do is we have the House language just slightly modified with a technical change. Section 27, that was in both sides. Section 28, that was a Senate provision that's accepted here on the parent or guardian responsibility. Section 29, this is we had slightly different versions on the apprentice hunter validation. The Senate had added in non-residents. This just leaves it the way it is for residents. That was the way the House had it. But it does allow the 2 years for the apprentice hunter validation. Section 30 was the House provision on scopes on muzzleloaders. It's more of a technical change. This does not have the Senate provision with the increased use regardless of your condition. Section 31, this was the provision in the Senate bill dealing with livestock producers taking predators. There's one change in it. If you look on 16.30 to 16.31, it says, and the firearm does not have a round in the chamber while the person is in the motor vehicle. Section 32, that was in both sides dealing with the technical on who can qualify them. Section 33 was in both sides. Section 34 was in both sides. Section 35 was a Senate provision kind of clarifying the concealed carry along with the game and fish laws. The game and fish laws. Section 36, that's a House provision, and you'll note that the effective date is the day following the final enactment on bear hunters. We had different provisions, and this is accepting the House provision. Section 37 was a House provision on the use of a drum. Section 38, this is a modified. The Senate and House actually had the same language, but there was some language being worked out outside of here. And this is the language that was worked out. So it's a little bit slightly different than what was in either bill, but it's kind of what everybody's agreed to, as I understand it, on Section 38. Section 39, beaver dams, that was from the House provision. It does apply to all road authorities, towns, cities, counties. Section 40 is a modified version of the Senate bill on the shooting grouse prohibited near motor vehicle. The Senate had 20 yards. This is now reduced to 10 feet. So you have to be 10 feet away from the vehicle with the engine shut off before shooting. Section 41 are the decoy provision, but I think we'll get to that on the list later. There are going to be some provisions that are probably going to be taken out of here and some that are going to be put in. And then on Section 42, this was the Senate and House just differed by the notification. This includes the notification when they do make one of these mid-season changes. So Section 42 is the Senate language. And Section 43, that was in both sides in the application for tag. Section 44, there were some slight differences. The House, again, had refined this provision, and so it was a little bit different. No, this was the same. I'm sorry, I'm thinking of a different one. Section 45, this was a Senate provision on bullheads and white suckers. You'll note there's an addition on 23.27 that this is effective the day following enactment. Section 46 is the one one of the provisions that the House refined a little more. And so this is the House provision on Section 46. Section 47 was in both sides identical. That's included here. The coyote conflict management option, the only difference was the Senate allowed towns to also do this, and this accepts the Senate provision for town boards also doing this. Section 49 is a modified version of the Senate provision on zone 3 deer seasons, and what it does is it makes sure that there are 9 days in the early A season, but it doesn't provide any of the restrictions. That would be left up to the department to work out those restrictions. Section 50, that was a House provision on Lake Florida. Section 51 is a special regulations on Fish Lake Reservoir. That was a House provision. Section 52 is a spearing on Cass Lake. And you'll note that both sides had this. There's one addition in this, and we have an amendment for another addition later. And what it is that on 25.30, if you look, and the rules must, it says the rules, and provide for double the restitution rate under current rules for muskellunge taken illegally on Cass Lake. So it'd be double whatever the current restitution rules are for just on Cass Lake. Section 53, there was a provision in the House bill on incidental takings by trappers, and what this does is just ask the commissioner to come back with a report on basically on what to do about reporting and tagging. The House had prescribed tagging and reporting. Section 54 is the Senate walk-in program. There will be a part of the discussion later. There's an additional clause that we're going to be adding to this. Section 55, those are the repealers that were from both bills. We will be adding some of these big game stand repealers in, and the other one is otherwise the first one was the same. 27.4, that's a provision from last year on release of fish taken for those people who are netting rough fish, and that's being repealed here. And then Article 2, we have the Watercraft Safety and Education Program that was in the Senate bill, and we have the payment in lieu of taxes report from the Senate bill. It's modified a little bit. The Commissioner of Natural Resources will now be in charge of it, and the Commissioner of Management and Budget will be involved, and they must use a stakeholder process. And then also, if you look at Clause 1 on 28.11, the purpose for the payment system and the criteria for payments, that was not in before, so that's added to that. Section 1 was Article 3 now, state land. Section 1 was in both bills. Section 2 was in both bills. Section 3 is a modified version of the House language. The House said that the House language had a provision that said that if the commissioner could buy lands adjacent to or in the area of a state forest and then alter the statutory boundaries on his own. What this does, it says, first of all, it has to be adjacent. So it gives the commissioner the authority to purchase lands adjacent to a state forest, but the commissioner shall propose legislation to change the boundaries of the established forest, and that those are in statute. Mr. Chair, on Section 4 was in both sides. Section 5 is a House provision on riparian land in the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. That'll be included here. Section 9 is the Clearwater County provision. Both sides had different provisions. This is the Senate provision of selling it for $1 but keeping the reversionary interest. Section 7 was in both sides. Section 8 was in both sides. Section 9 was in both sides. Section 10 was a House provision on Lake County land exchange. This has to do with the state park, Split Rock Lighthouse State Park. Section 11 is a modified, the House had a provision on anticipated savings to the general fund, and what this does is it limits it to public sales, and it says that they may offer and sell for not less than 80% of the estimated appraisal. Well, I think we're going to talk later in the list, you'll see, to drop that down to 75%. Again, this was a draft report done earlier today. But it basically only will apply to public sales, and it does limit what they can offer it for at the auction. Section 12 was in both. Well, Section 12 is actually the Senate version of the Anoka County land sale. And if you look on 35.29 to 35.33, that was the main difference. There's all the other little technical difference, but the main one was to get in that expressed intent. Section 13 was in both sides. Section 14 was in both sides. Section 15, both sides. 16, both sides. 17, both sides. 18, both sides. 19, both sides. 20, both sides. There could be some minor technical differences between the two. Some of them were the Senate was just a little more explicit in who it was going to. Section 21, both sides. Section 22, both sides. Section 23, both sides. Section 24, both sides. Section 25 were in both. Section 26 was in both. Section 27 was in both. Section 28 was in both. The only thing different, there was a technical fix on the House side in Section 28, and this picks up that technical change, the fix in the House from the House side on that one St. Louis County land sale. Section 29 was in both. Section 30 was in both. Section 31 was in both. 32 was in both. Section 33 in both. Section 34 in both. 35, 36, 37, 38 was in both. Section 39 was in both, but again, the House had a technical fix in that, and this does include that technical fix. So that's what's in the draft report right now. And I think, Mr. Chair, what you may want to do is we can go through this list of items at first, and then unless you want me to do the amendments first.
Yeah, we can do the amendments. That'll get it in the shape that we desire.
Well, Mr. Chair, on the list there'll be some things to get it in shape too, but they're easier things that we didn't really need to write up as amendments. So.
Okay.
You got another one here. Same time. Or, oh,
no. Yeah.
These were. Oh, I've got it that one. Thanks. These were two issues, Mr. Chair, that were discussed to go there to go along with. Well, why don't we do the short one first? Because right now you have the provision in the draft report that says on the Cass Lake spearing, and what this would say is that a person taking muskellunge by spear on Cass Lake is subject to 97A. 0.420 and 97A.421 subdivision 2A, paragraph A, clause 2. And what those are, 4.20 is the gross over limits. The currently, you have to be $500 in restitution value for those to apply. And what this would say would be for any taking by a spear it applies. And then 421, the other clause there, that is for basically if you do it twice in 10 years, it's a 5-year revocation of your license. Okay. It means you can't get a license for 5 years. And so those would be additional penalties. With your enhanced restitution that you have in there already, if anybody takes a muskellunge of any size, they're already going to be there. This would just say, regardless of size, that you're going to go to the gross over limits law.
Okay, so there's no size trigger in this. This is okay. So that we should be clear about that then, that and make sure that we're okay. That if someone does take a muskie illegally by spear on Cass Lake, they will have their license revoked for 5 years.
Well, Mr. Chair,
Mr. Knopf,
Mr. Chair, the first time. The officer can seize a license, and there's a process for revoking that license.
Okay.
But it's that year's license. But that's for one time. But if you get convicted once on that and you do it again within 10 years, then you lose your license for 5 years.
Okay.
Two steps.
All right. So the first time is 1 year, right. The rest of the year.
Right.
And the second time is 5 years.
Yeah, and Mr. Chair, the nice thing about tying it into that is there's actually a process. There's an administrative process where the person can apply to get it back and to make sure that the conditions were right, and that it was truly an issue. But there's an administrative process already in place for that.
And Mr. Knopf, the Mr. Chair, Mr. Knopf, the restitution applies to both of those instances, correct?
Well, yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Dill, it does. In fact, with the enhanced restitution on a larger muskie, you're probably going to get above $500 anyway. So this would have already applied.
Okay. Mr. Chair, what was the original? I don't know if I got the right word, restitution, but there's $3,000 fine for taking a muskie illegally already.
Mr. Knopf,
and we doubled that. I think it's $6,000 now if the language stands.
Well,
we propose.
Mr. Chair, I've got the restitution rules in front of me. It may be a little less than what you would. It depends on the size. If you're 50 inches and over, it's $1,000 plus $100 for each inch over 50 inches.
It's a big muskie.
And it's for 30 to 40 inches, it's $200. Mm-hmm. So if you double them, that'd be $400 for a 30 to 40 inch muskie. So it's not as high as I was thinking earlier either. I looked that up when I went downstairs.
I got a piece of paper, Mr. Chair. I had a piece of paper that had $3,000 on it. But if that's,
I'm just looking at Mr. Chairman. I'm just looking at the rules sent by Representative Purcell. I don't know. There may be some issue with regard to what the viol.
Okay.
You know, they may be adding in the fine or whatever. I'm not sure.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Knopf, what is the second violation within 5 years yield, no matter what size muskie?
Mr.
Is there a standard fine? Besides the revocations.
Right? No, Mr. Chair, Senator Ingebrigtsen, as I understand it, if it's over $500, if the restitution value is over $500 and it's the second within 10 years, then it's a 5-year, you're prohibited from acquiring a license for that activity for 5 years.
Is that a
Sam's Cornish?
Sure. Is that a gross misdemeanor, Mr.
Knopf?
Mr. Chairman, we had to split that in 2002 when it was written. The gross misdemeanor is $1,000, over $1,000 restitution. For the civil part of it, it's over $500. For the criminal part, it's over $1,000.
So what would it be in this case? Would it be a gross misdemeanor?
Well, Mr. Chair, even under current law, a muskie taken illegally over 50 inches is a gross misdemeanor. And this civil seizure and everything else would also apply. And over, Mr. Chair, just to clarify too, if it's over $5,000, you get your you can't acquire the license for 5 years, even if it's the first offense. If your gross over limit has a restitution value of over $5,000.
And that's on any lake, just to be clear.
Right? Mr. Chair,
we're not scolding
that. That's on any lake. That's current law.
I'm okay with it.
So, I mean, in general, let's just say it's a really large muskie over 50 inches. The restitution is going to be hovering around $2,000.
Mr. Chair, under what you have in the bill on Cass Lake, it would.
Right.
Yes.
What we're proposing. And that's for a very large muskie. Right.
So, Mr. Chair, to get to the 5,000 with a muskie would be difficult unless you speared two.
Okay. Representative Purcell, this is your area.
I really don't want to make that mistake twice.
Well, I'm okay with what's proposed.
Are you inclined to move the amendment?
Yeah, I would move that amendment, Mr. Chair.
Representative Purcell moves the 34. Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment's adopted.
And Mr. Chair, the second amendment, the A33, is a two-line amendment. The House had a two-line provision, and what this does is it leaves existing law in Lake Superior and the rest the same, but it adds a new paragraph B that's an exception to paragraph A. And it just says, during the open water period, an angler may use two lines. If the angler purchases a second line endorsement for $10 and the endorsement is purchased with the angling license, an angler with a two-line endorsement is prohibited from the use of two lines in experimental or special management waters that have reduced limits for species that are not based on size. So if there's a general limit on walleye that's reduced below six or any species basically on that lake, it's experimental or special management, then you're restricted to one line. You can't use two lines on that body of water. And then daily in possession limits during the open water season for fish taken by a person with a two-line endorsement are one half the daily in possession limits for the corresponding fish taken under a standard angling license, rounded down to the next whole number if necessary. So for walleye, it would be three. For northern pike, it would be one, basically, if it was three fish limit. And this is not effective until March 1st of 2011, so it wouldn't be effective during this license year, but during the next one.
Sam Dill, would you like to maybe summarize your understanding of this? This is a new policy in the state of Minnesota, and we should make sure everyone's clear.
I thought that the paragraph B starting on 1.9 is pretty clear. The only thing that Mr. Knopf, I'm not sure that was said that I understood, and I want to repeat it to make sure that we're on the same frequency, is that on special management waters that have reduced limits, you can't use two lines, but a special regulation lake that has only slot limits, you could use two lines.
And Mr. Chairman, that was one of the reasons I put in that are not based on size, because some lakes they may have a certain slot where you can only take one, where under normal conditions you could take more than that. I wanted to make sure that we didn't include those lakes, to make sure those slot limit lakes are not included. That's why you see the language for any species that are not based on size.
Okay. Otherwise, I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
So what we have here is what I would characterize as a reward for conservation practices,
right,
in Minnesota. During this whole two-line discussion. Just speaking for myself, that was a concern of mine, that if we are going to emulate other states that have multiple lines, that we should also emulate their conservation regulations as well. This is another way to get at the same thing. Actually, I think it's kind of novel. I think we're using a reward method to take less fish. And not only am I maybe not concerned about this anymore, I think it's really kind of growing on me. I think our culture of angling is changing in that we're seeing more of the recreation aspect of it, the social aspect of it, as opposed to subsistence. So this gives the people who want to have a lot of fun fishing the ability to do more of that, but in exchange for reinforcing another new culture, and that is in angling, and that is one of increased conservation. And I think that's a great marriage of the two. So I like what we've produced here. Mechanics-wise, it's important to note that one must purchase this endorsement with the purchase of their license. So one cannot purchase their license and then go back and purchase the endorsement later. They have to make that decision. Number two, it's important to note that the size the limit, the daily possession limits that we're reducing by half, taking half the limit, applies to that person whether they are fishing with two lines or not. This was an enforcement question that we are keeping simple in this matter, so that an enforcement officer will not have any doubt that this person is required to have this limit. They will have the license, they will have the endorsement on there, and the conservation officer will know that that person is only allowed half of the limit on that lake. It's also important to note that using two lines to fish on a lake with a special regulation on limits is not allowed. However, the requirement of that half of possession limit still applies, even though that person is only fishing with one line on that special reg lake. So if you're on Mille Lacs and Mille Lacs has a four fish limit, that person can only take two. If you are on a lake, I think, is Red Lake on three? Have three? I think one of the lakes recently had a three walleye limit. If you have purchased this endorsement, you are now limited to one walleye. And you're still not allowed to use two lines on that particular lake. So this helps the DNR, DNR's potential heartburn over going back and re-looking at those regs. Whether there's a treaty on take, this eliminates that concern. And this only applies on the open water season, not ice fishing. When it comes to ice fishing, it goes back to what we're used to.
So, Mr. Chairman,
Representative Dill.
So, if you bought the license with a two line endorsement, and now it's open, it's ice fishing season, it's as if you don't have the endorsement for two line on the license at all, right, practically speaking.
Correct.
Thank you.
Representative Cornish.
Well, Mr. Chair, the chairs could do me a favor and make sure, maybe even send a letter to the DNR and make sure that the changes we have here are flagged in the front of the synopsis. under new laws, because when we did the uncased gun, they didn't put it in the front of the synopsis. And I had people flagging me down when I was grouse hunting up north and wondering how in the world you could do that. It wasn't every year almost the DNR puts new laws in the front, but they didn't then. And so I don't know why, if it was a time limit or whatever, but if we could just direct them to make sure we have, like they used to, new laws for 2000-something and then flag each one of these and give the an extra break. And
Representative Dill, if you're inclined to move the 833, would you incorporate that suggestion into your amendment?
Mr. Chair, I would do that. And
we can instruct the staff to
insert that. And I wanted to also mention that because this is effective March 1 of 11, we should be more than adequate time to get it in the pamphlet as well.
Mr. Knopf. Chairman, just a technicality on that. I don't think that Representative Corner should talk about putting the language in here. We usually don't tell them what to put in their synopsis. But I think what Representative Cornish brings up is an issue. I mean, last year when you passed the uncased gun, it was late. It was May already. You know, they're pretty far along in putting together the synopsis. And I think Representative Dill points out something important here is that it will not be until next March. So it's the synopsis next year that they'll need to put it in. So they should have adequate time.
Can't we just put in there that the department shall include this new provision in its synopsis of new laws?
Mr. Chair,
any synopsis of new laws?
Mr. Chair, they will.
But what I'm not just putting it into the thing. It's in the front. They usually put attention fishermen, new laws, close inside or something.
Right. How do we ensure that this new law is prominent so there's no confusion?
Mr. Chair, I think it'll be very prominent, and I think that they will put that in the synopsis.
Staff trusts the department to do their job. Senator Scogin.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just, it's maybe piling on here a little bit, but the headline is going to be that the legislature passes two lines. Mm-hmm. We don't want people buying a license only to find out later while they're reading the book that they don't get to fish as much as they thought with two lines. So we got to be the education part of this new way to fish in Minnesota has to be very clear.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
there could be some language in about the department marketing it, the new change.
Well, we're limiting their ability to fish. We're actually increasing their ability to fish. What we are limiting is their harvest. And so one of the concerns that I have, although I'm quite happy with the language, and I'm not being critical, but just how you said it, and how I said it are really two different things. And I think that we inadvertently might say we're limiting their ability to fish, when in fact we're expanding their ability to fish with this bill. But we're limiting the amount of harvest that they can have. And so I don't know how, I mean, that's kind of a discussion point, and maybe it's inside baseball in this building. But at some point, people will begin to talk about this. I think you're right.
But just, Mr. Chair, just to that point, I think we'll have some anger if they're buying something and are confused when they get it. You know, so we need to do a good job of education.
Mr. Knopf, could you just put some boilerplate language, add some boilerplate language to something about outreach and education and or marketing of the new law? Prior to March 1st, 2011. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
I'm just talking about the rounding here with Senator Scott.
Rounding up rounding or down when you get to halves.
It's rounding down.
Mr. Chair, with three pike going to one, I don't know if that was talked about a lot or in the committees at all.
What?
Rounding down from three northern pike to one versus two maybe or something like that. Was that ever talked about? That's what I wanted to ask.
We realize Representative Cornish will keep the northern pike, but some of us do. So.
Fish and a half, I see what you mean.
Yeah. Well, take the front half or the back half? Which one?
If you want to fish with two lines throughout the season and then you want to fish on a special reg lake, you will, under this, you will need to use only one line and your limit will be down to one.
I understand that. I just wanted to know if there was ever talk about that in any of the committees, especially in the half when you got bass, you got a limit of five, you're going to be doing two now instead of three. I'm good with it. I'm good with the conservation part.
We're rewarding conservation. We should also add a note that this adds money to the Game and Fish Fund. Without these restrictions, we were looking at a little over $4 million. We don't believe that that number will be probably even close to that. But if it's any fraction of that, I think we're making money off of this bill as opposed to losing it.
Well,
with the walking access and the free fishing for all kids, which is what I really hope is the headline off of this bill, is that for the first time in the history of this country, I believe, well, not maybe not the history, but the history of fishing licensure, all kids will be allowed to fish for free. We are the first state to allow that. Unless someone can point out another state that already does. I hope that's the headline. Other questions? Mr. Knopf?
Mr. Chair, did you want me to read what it
put in? Let's hear it, yeah.
This give you the concept anyways. By March 1, 2011, the commissioner shall provide for public education on the availability and restrictions under a two-line endorsement.
What do folks think? Senator Scogin?
There'd be no way to... We don't want them to get over the top on trying to explain it in the book, but we really want people to go look at the rule before they buy the license.
So is the language sufficient?
For me, yes.
Senator Dill, you want to incorporate that?
Yes, I'd incorporate. I'll move the A33 and incorporate the oral amendment.
Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment's adopted. Mr. Knopf?
Mr. Chair, if you're dealing with the amendments, I think Ms. Taylor may have an amendment. I think it's on this sheet then. Should we just hand out the... Okay. Mr. Chair and members, what this is a list of some items that are going to be changed a little bit in this report. We don't really need amendments for it. They're pretty straightforward, and we'll just keep it. So what you have here, I'll make sure everybody gets copies of this, is some slight changes to the conference report that, again, they're some of the provisions are from the side-by-side comparison. Some of them are just are relatively straightforward as to what it's going to do. And I guess, Mr. Chair, I think I'll start going through the list. The first one is in the big game stand. Right now, there's the House had no height limit, and the Senate was maintaining a 16-foot consistent for moose, elk, and deer, and bear, actually. So what this does is it leaves there will not be anything new on bear stands, but it keeps a 16-foot height limit for moose, elk, and deer stands on public lands, and but there would be the House provision would be for private land, would there be no limit on private land? And then, Mr. Chair, on the various land sales, there was agreed upon right now and here there were five land sales that were in both sides, but the House had the money going to the general fund, the Senate did not. This would accept the Senate language where the money does not go into the general fund, but but the land sales still could go forward because these were on public waters or their private land sales, and so they're required to be enacted by law. And then the Senate position on the Washington County land sales of the National Park Service, there was a slight difference where the Washington County had come to the Senate and asked for an option that says to sale or convey, and they can actually convey it for no value if that's the agreement that's worked out, because these are some islands in the St. Croix River that Washington County is trying to work out an arrangement with the National Park Service to take over the operations of. And then there'll also be in the Senate side, the Wyzetta land sale was in. There was a removal of the gas station language, and then it was also reduced to a dollar. But what this says is agreed to take out the gas station language, but no change in the sale price. And then, as Earlier when we were going through this, you remember the, if you remember the 80% provision in the sales below appraised value, this would reduce that to 75%. Duck decoy language, we would just delete that from the bill. There would be no change into the, in the duck decoy provisions that were in the House side. There was an attempted compromise in here, but that would just be deleted. The youth fishing license reduction, that would be added to this. That's the Senate provision. The earlier start possible for duck hunting season, that is not in here right now, but it would be added back in. So it would be it was in the Senate side. It's deleting the language. It says that that the duck season can't open prior to October 1st. So this would give the department more flexibility on that. What's not in the agreement would be allowing spears for big game during the firearm season. And then also added is the walk-in program. And there's going to be, it's in the bill right now, but there was some language that Ms. Taylor had worked out dealing with the agricultural interest in the state, because there has been some concern. And as part of the report, they have to address those concerns in the agricultural areas of the state. So there'll just be another clause added to that report that comes back on the pilot walk-in program. And, Mr. Chair, those would be the additional changes that are on this list.
Comments, Representative Dill? Members?
Well, Mr. Chair, I would just ask Representative Cornish if on the big game stands, I know that was one that you came and talked to us privately. Does that get you where you wanted to go?
Yeah, I think it's a good compromise. It gets your guys' uniformity on with mine, just letting people what they want to do in private land, and it takes care of the aesthetic thing or the looks of it on public land. So I think it worked out great.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And somebody should be
Oh, do we need a motion on this?
I think so.
What's the proper motion?
I think, Mr. Chair, I think you would just move this as basically an amendment to the bill. I think it's pretty clear on what the changes are going to be. And so you move the staff to make these changes.
Got to put a number on it, Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Chairman, you don't.
No. Okay, well, I'll move the amendment then.
All right. Representative Dill will move that. Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment's adopted.
And then, Mr. Chair, unless you have anything else to do, you may want to just move this document as amended by the documents in front of you as a conference committee report.
Why don't we, before we take the motion, why don't we see if there's any, is there anyone who'd like to speak? Mr. Bazzard, I know you had one brief thing you wanted to say.
Thank you.
Why don't you come up to the table and introduce yourself?
Mr. Chair, members, for the record, my name is Jim Bazzott. I'm the legislative liaison for the Minnesota Outdoor Heritage Alliance, otherwise known as MOHA. And I would just simply, on their behalf, I'd like to thank the committee for the walk-in access program, which we feel is extremely important for recruitment and retention. And with that, I'll end my comments.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I move the conference committee report as amended.
Okay. Discussion? Before we vote on it, I need to make a small mention. Minnesota statutes 10A require that when there is a legislative action or a member makes a legislative action, that they disclose any potential conflict if there is any substantial benefit to that member. And then I just need to disclose here that even though it was a House provision, an amendment added in the House, my cabin is on Fish Lake Reservoir. But the provision simply requires some special regulations and does not substantially benefit me in any way whatsoever. So I'm disclosing that, but I do not believe it is a potential, I don't believe it is a conflict. Unless anyone else disagrees, I'm happy to take the advice of the committee. Senator Scogin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like Mr. Knopf to take me back to the repealer on page 27 of your initial document. I know you described the second one as the releasing of the rough fish in the netting, but what was the repealer in the A portion there? I was looking at something else at the time, and on 27.2.
Well, Mr. Chair, the first part is the repealer. This is the Fish and Wildlife Planning provisions, and subdivision 5. I'd have to look that up. I don't recall exactly. I had that. Actually, it's on my other. Must miss.
It's Taylor.
It relates to the spring turkey season.
That's it.
Pardon?
Relating to the spring turkey season, I don't remember the exact.
Mr. Chair, now I do remember. Yeah. Thank you. There are some special provisions for the spring turkey season. This was actually recommended by the department to repeal this. There were some special provisions that they, I guess, they don't think are necessary anymore for the spring season.
Okay. Thank you.
Are all the repealers in this report ones that have been discussed embedded?
Mr. Chair, yes. In fact, we have to include a couple more on the elk and moose stands that are repealing the existing law for those to make sure it's consistent. But that was part of when you adopted that sheet. I'll be including those.
That's
further discussion. On the Dill motion, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. I want to thank the members and the audience and all the stakeholders for being patient with us through all this. Representative Dill, I want to thank you for your collaboration on this bill. I think that this bill is a victory for sportsmen. I think it's a victory for conservation. And I want to thank you for your leadership on this.